Hey guys, there. Talking about getting notes and talking about the Hamby family being here. There is two Hambys that's missing. I got a note from one this week. I'm not sure Landon, he's able to hear our sermons and our messages where he's at. But Justin's back in the States, and he tells me that he listens to the messages every week. And so I know we got one of them with us today that's going to be here. And don't you just love them? All right. So let's give them a shout out because they may be here. Can you do that?
Yeah.
We can do it. It sounds stupid, but that's all right. We could say, "We love you, Hamby brothers," couldn't we? On the count of three. One, two, three. We love you, Hamby brothers. All right. I do love them. I love them. All right. Hey, guys, a lot of us are trying to do better, trying to look better, get in shape. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but my shape's changing. I've lost a little weight. You know, that's good. I've noticed a lot of you are doing it. But you know what? If it's only on the outside, it ain't going to make much difference. You know, because if you're going to be... If you're annoying now, you'll just be skinny and annoying. There's a change that God wants to make on the inside of us. You know what? As nice as we may get to look, the physical part just ain't going to last. It just ain't gonna last. It's the character on the inside that really counts. God wants to make the change from the inside out. 1 Thessalonians, first verse says, "May the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way and keep your whole being, spirit, soul, my typo, and body free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I think it's wonderful timing that Jenna's new Bible study started today for the ladies. Made to Crave. Or it didn't start today, the sign-up did. I'll have everybody messed up. In that order, too, do you see how what order he put? Spirit, soul, and body. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Be made new in the attitude of your minds." In the attitude of your mind. You know, it's a great thing to get the junk food out of the fridge. But what about the junk food in our heads? Well, I'm talking about these empty values. And these lies that we've built our lives on that just simply are not true. All that stuff needs to go so that we can be made new. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, he's talking about changing how you and I think. Changing how you and I think. I want to look at a couple of words here and give you the definition of them. Conform. If you're filling in blanks, you know, if you got a pen and you brought one, the very first blank is conform. The definition is there to make or become the same, to behave in a conventional way by accepting without question the customs, traditions, and prevailing opinion of others. What that means is, you know, I guess it's okay. It's because everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it, so it's got to be okay. But Paul's saying, don't do this. Paul's saying, God wants us to stop and think about what we're doing. We got to stop. We don't do something just because everybody else is doing it. This is change from the outside. The next word I want you to look at in this is transform. Look at the definition. To change the condition, function, nature, character, or personality. What transform means is to make something completely new. Completely new. We got to do this to be new from the inside. You can only become new from the inside out. And it begins in how and what we think. In what we think. This to be able to do this 180 degree way of living, to turn from the old way to a new way. And I was telling Jennifer this morning, that's what baptism is about. It's symbolic of being buried with Christ, the old way of being buried with Christ, and coming up a new way, a new life, walking a new life, to be transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Well, how do we do that? I'm going to talk about two more words this morning, and these two words are going to be uncomfortable for a lot of folks. They make some folks feel defensive. They make some folks feel uneasy. Sometimes they make us feel guilty. Two words that I'm going to talk about, confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. The reason that these two words make us feel uneasy is that we immediately go negative. We immediately go negative. We think of that guy on Barrett Parkway at the red light with the sandwich boards. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He's pointing your finger at you, or he's pointing his finger at you, telling you everything bad that you're doing. And we get this negative feeling. He said, stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. But if we look at these two words and we actually see what they mean, we see positive. And we actually see them as their hope-filled words, confession and repentance. Look at the definition of confession. Confession, to confess is to say the same thing that God says. It's not a matter of your arm being twisted and you finally say, yeah, I did it. Or arguing with God over it. It's just agreeing with it. You know, it's to agree with God about what I did and agree with him about who he wants me to be. That's what confess is. To repent, look at the definition, to change the way you think. Simply to change the way you think. Not change what you do, but change how you think. Not what you do. Because you can't just change your behavior. You got to change the way you think. And saying what God says enables you to change your thinking. And when you do that, that will change your behavior. I want to read you something out of Psalm 51. It's not in your outline, but just write that down. You need to go to Psalm 51 later. It's a great passage, if I can find it. I think it's 10 through 16. No, it ain't. Psalm 51, 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Confessing sin is agreeing with God about behavior, but it will not change behavior. Now, confessing is necessary for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confessing sins leads to forgiveness, but it does not change behavior. I wonder how many times I've said this. Lord, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I messed up. 2 days later, I'd do it again. I'd do it again. How many times have I promised God, I'll never do that again? How many times did I tell my mother she whooped me? I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. Guess what? I did it again 15 minutes later. Now, am I the only one that's ever told God I won't do it again and I've done it again? I didn't think so. And then what happens is this circle of guilt starts to happen. Because I've confessed it, but my behavior hasn't changed. There is another kind of confession that can lead to a change in our behavior. It's confessing our faith. It's confessing our faith. Not just saying what God says about what you did, but saying what God says about who you are in Christ and making that confession. That confession leads to repentance. It changes the way we think. And that's the secret to a total makeover from the inside out. That's the secret. If all we do is focus on behavior, it'll never happen. We got to change the way we think. When the Bible says to be new in the attitude of your mind, the Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is just, he's just hollering it out. He's saying that every behavior begins with a thought. Every behavior begins with a thought. We got to change the way we think. So if you want to change the way you act, change the way you think. Confession is saying what God says and the way he thinks about you and I will lead to repentance. When I confess my faith, I no longer focus on what I once did. But instead, I focus on what I believe to be true and how things could be based on the Word of God. It's not thinking about the wrong things. It's shifting my thoughts to think about the right things. Any builder is going to tell you, and I may not get my terminology right because I'm not a builder. Any builder going to tell you when you construct something that it starts with being plumb. It starts with a plumb line. A plumb line is a weight on a string, and that gravity pulls it down, and you build off that when you get a plumb line, because then everything's straight. It's perpendicular. And when you can build off to that, the walls are going to be true. The walls are going to be level. If your plumb line's crooked, if you don't build off a plumb line, your walls will be crooked. Your walls will be crooked, and your building could come down. The integrity of that structure is at risk. But I'm going to tell you, when those walls are in line with that plumb line, builders have a term for that. It's called true. It's called true. True. And the makeup of our, and the makeover for our lives, God's given us a plumb line. Something that's true, something that's straight. Something that we can measure all of our thoughts, something that we can measure all of our decisions, actions, reactions, every challenge we face, every question that's asked. We can measure this standard with the truth and the Word of God. That's our plumb line. We can say, how does this match up against the standard of God's Word? This decision that I'm about to make. Ephesians 4:23 says, be made new in the attitude of your mind. Made new. You know, there's some Greek words in there, and I remember looking at them. You know what one of the Greek words means when it says made new? It means renovate. You know what renovate is? We renovated my kitchen one time. It means the first thing you got to do is demolish. You got to demolish. You got to tear out the old stuff. To renovate, to be made new. And the Word of God will demolish your old life. The Word of God will demolish your old values. My beliefs. The old ones, they were just about to destroy an old crooked building. But the Word of God demolishes those old values. The first step is renovation. It's renovation. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I'm telling you, the Word of God can smash a stronghold. It can break any chains. It can uncover what's covered and cover what's uncovered. If we will allow it to do its work, the Word of God, not us jump in. Now, I want to talk to you about confessing our faith. Now, I'm not talking about positive thinking here. I got nothing really against positive thinking, but I'm talking about confessing our faith. I want us to learn how to do that, because I believe it will lead to a life change that we're all looking for, a new way of thinking about life, a new way of thinking about ourselves, a new way of thinking about God, our family, and our friends. And I want to begin with this story. I believe this is a true story. I believe it's true because I read it on the internet. As an elephant trainer trains elephants, he starts off with baby elephants. And one of the first things he does is he takes a chain and he wraps that chain or an anklet, and he chains that baby elephant to a stake in the ground. Now, that's all that baby ever knows, because he's not strong enough to pull that stake out of the ground at this moment, because he's a baby. And all throughout life, as he grows, he thinks, this is as far as I can go. Because he feels the weight of that chain on his anklet. The elephant believes that this is all that I can do. And even when the elephant becomes full grown, the trainer can actually unhook the stake, because the elephant still feels the chain around him. The elephant still feels the chain around his ankle. He thinks that he's still attached to something. He doesn't realize he's free. He don't know he's free. He could actually go anywhere he wants to. But instead, the elephant spends the rest of his life chained to nothing. To nothing. He is believing a lie. But if the elephant knew the truth, he would be free. The truth is, the chain ain't attached to nothing. Just like the elephant, there's some of you today that believe your chains are attached to something. You believe that you're staked. You believe that you can go just so far. you believe those chains are still holding you back. When in reality, the only power those chains have is what you've given them. You've given them. You've given them. Because you don't realize that the Lord has already set you free. And he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Free indeed. We're free from those things. And all we got to do is get up. One more step. My question for you this morning is, what are the chains? What are the chains that are still keeping you tied to the past? What are the chains that are still keeping you tied to the past? Is it guilt? Is it regret? Is it memories? Is it you don't think you're good enough? Do you think you messed up too much? Do you think you're not smart enough, not rich enough, not good looking enough, not nice enough? You know what I say? Enough of that. Enough. When my mother would get tired of hearing me complain and gripe. Enough. I think Jesus wants to tell you today, if you're hanging on to regrets and memories and past and what I can't do and woe is me, enough! Get up! Enough! Stop believing those lies. I want to tell you something. You ain't worthless. You're priceless. God gave his Son for you. So enough! Quit walking around beaten, defeated. Let me read you Psalm 107. It ain't anything you... I found these later. 10 through 16. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Now that's worth saying amen. He broke away their chains when they cried out to him. As my friend Rusty says, when I read that, I just want to say, glory! Freedom! He broke away my chains. I've been walking around like an elephant chained to nothing. You are free. You need to quit living, believing these lies of guilt and condemnation. Or even guilty for the thing you didn't feel like you should have done. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. Be made new in the attitude of your mind. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Take that, devil. You big liar. I'm telling you, don't live according to those lies. The past is past. You got to get up and walk in freedom. I put together some confessions of faith, some scripture, so that you can start looking at these. They're on the back of your outline. I put them on the back so you can put them somewhere where you see them, whether it's in the toilet or the wherever you go the most. If it's the refrigerator, or I don't know where you go the most. Car. It's what God says about you. It's what he says about you. And let it be what you say about you. You know, let's begin to think and act a way about life. Now, you know what? I really mean it. Let's get up. I want to read this together. We don't have to read the addresses, but I want us to read this together. I want you to at least, if you never read it again, I want you to read it one time today. Read it with me. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again from the dead on the third day. I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I count myself dead to sin, but alive in God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The Son has set me free. I am free indeed. The Word of God is at work in me. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am being transformed into Christ's likeness with ever-increasing glory. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. Uh-oh, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. God is faithful. He will not let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. He is able to keep me from falling. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. My light and momentary troubles are achieving for me an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. He is able to do immeasurably more than all I can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within me. God is for me. Who can be against me? Amen. That's good stuff. That's the Word of God. Now sit down. This is the Word of God. This is what God says about you. Let it be what you think. Amen. Let it be what you think. You can build your life on these words and live and believe them. Now, does this mean bad things are going to stop happening? No, but I tell you what it is. You're going to have more victories than you are losses. Amen. More victories. Because your mind is being changed and renewed. God is at work in you. Put this paper somewhere where you can see it. Somewhere where you see it every day. You know, read it to God. Read it to the devil. You know, let it change you. Let's change from the inside out. Fill in your last blanks here. God isn't asking you to make a promise that you cannot keep. He's asking you to receive a promise that only He can keep. He keeps the promises. God always keeps His promises. Confess your faith. Take God at His word. Whatever He starts, He'll finish. Last verse, Philippians 1:6. I am convinced that God who began this good work in you will carry it through to completion. I want to tell you something. You can expect to be challenged. You have an enemy that hates you. You have an enemy that hates you. You know, he hates you. He doesn't want you to be free. He will come at once in a while and rattle your chains. He will. The devil will rattle your chains. He'll whisper in your ear, Jim, you've gone just about far enough. That's far enough. He'll say, you can't do that. Then he'll try to remind you of your past. Well, just remind him of his future. You know? Ladies, I want you to do something. Married ladies, I want you to do something for your husband. When he wakes up in the morning, his feet hit the floor. I don't know if you know this or not, but men, women, all of us are warriors. We face a battle every day. The devil hates us. Encourage your husband. When his feet hit the floor, say something like this. Lord, say, when you see Alan get up in all his boldness of his morning attire, you say, all right, devil, you be careful. God done give Alan another day. All right, old devil. Tell him, Renee. All right, old devil.
All right, old devil.
You done give Daryl another day.
Watch out.
How many of you guys read my Facebook every morning? My devotion. I want you to smile tomorrow morning. Say, old devil, you better watch out. Jim done woke up again. Encourage your husbands. Encourage. We need it. You know why? Because we're fragile. We're warriors, but our egos, we're fragile, to be honest with you. Those whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Thank you. Would you pray with me? We're going to baptize. So Jennifer, you come on. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for freedom. Lord, and I pray for that young man who's having trouble struggling with the past. The enemy's reminded him and reminded him and reminded him. You ain't got no business in his life. He's been forgiven, and now let him move on. What was uncovered is covered. So there may be someone here walking today in guilt and regret. I pray they walk in Christ in freedom. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.